Wonderful word in the house today. I love the way that he connects with this church family and this body, and he really brings the word of God to us fresh. I appreciate all that. He did a wonderful job at the Spanish service this afternoon, and just he's doing excellent work in the kingdom of God. These evangelists are such a gift to the apostolic church. And Brother Prado is a treasure to us tonight. He's a wonderful gift. If you're not familiar with the fivefold ministry, there is a voice that can come to you from those areas, those strategic areas of ministry that you may not be able to get just anywhere. And not just anybody can bring that. And that's one of the reasons why we bring in so many outside preachers, is because we need a wide-based voice. We need to hear from God. And this is an apostolic template that we're following here. And every great church I know that has experienced the kind of growth that could be called apostolic, they all have a connection with evangelists. And we are so thrilled tonight to have Brother Ari Prado. I just feel the weight and the power of the Word of God. This atmosphere is freighted with the Word of God and with the power of heaven. And I'm believing God for all sorts of good things to grow up out of this meeting right now. And I want him to come tonight. I want him to just open up the Word of God, whatever the Holy Ghost has told him. If you would, just extend your hand toward him tonight and pray God's blessing on his household and his family.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, I praise you. God, I worship you. Amen. 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 Let's give Jesus a good hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter. Amen. If you can't find it, come to the altar. Very few apostolic churches have a problem with getting into revival. Even at the fledgling stages of a home missions environment, what we struggle with, however, is sustainability and sustaining intensity. And sustainability, as far as revival is concerned, is twofold, and we should never make a mistake about it. Number one, it's organizational, how we organize ourselves. God likes organization. In fact, organization precedes miracles. Jesus instructed people to sit down in groups of 50 and 100, and then he fed them. And that's a whole nother message. But if you want God to bless you, you got to get your act together. And I'm not talking about theoretically. I mean literally, get yourself together. But then the second form of sustainability is spiritually. And that's the one that is equally important. And that's the one I want to promote tonight. Is, as an evangelist, I have very little effect on a church's organization. But I do have effect on your spiritual dynamics. And so that is what I'm going to be talking about tonight. I have a word from God for you. And I may move a little slow, but please stick with me. I am not preaching something you've never heard. I am preaching something that you know. And sometimes we have to hear what we already know, right? It's what you already know that you got to put to work. And so I do not bring some far out there word. I want to bring a refresher here tonight. So if you have your Bibles, the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter, the word of the Lord says And the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And Cain said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" And I want to preach to you on this thought. Yes, you are your brother's keeper. Everyone say, yes, I am my brother's keeper. Amen. Let's put our Bibles down and go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for all the beautiful things you've done in this service. God, we're asking you today to bolster our spirits in your word. And I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that there would be a wonderful spirit of understanding, wisdom, and knowledge, and faith that would enter this place. In Jesus' name, I want everyone to say, Jesus, help me tonight to walk out of this place appreciating everyone that you've put in my life. In Jesus' name, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on. And while you're clapping your hands, shout, I love you, Jesus. Shake your neighbor's hand and tell them, I thank God for you. The United States of America, although being a very young country, will undoubtedly go down in history as one of the great powers of the world. It will undoubtedly go down as one of the unique entities to ever have housed the human experience. There would be no problem, at least in my own thinking, and I think in the mind of any scholarly historian, to speak of America in the same breath and in the same context as Egypt, Babylon, Rome, Greece, Assyria, etc. Some people even speculate, you know, when you go back and they talk about Rome, they talk about the Pax Romana, that epic when Rome was in full power and force. And some people even speculate that we will talk about Pax Americana, which is the epic in the time of which in which America led the world in dominance and in influence. What America and all these other powerful empires of the past have in common is that they housed the most powerful men in the world. It's one thing to be a country and have the most powerful man in your country. It's another thing for your country to house the most powerful man in the world. It's a whole different story. And in fact, in ancient times, Egypt, Babylon, Greece, Rome, etc. And you even see subtle hints of it here in America, at least now, which is kind of gross because I thought we would be better than this. But their leaders gained almost a deified status. In fact, many of them were considered gods. And any time America has no business speaking of its leaders in divine senses. We should not call any of our presidents, regardless of their political leanings, messiahs or saviors or anything of that manner. We know better than that. We know better than that. And these men, whether we like it or not, past, present, now, wielded great amounts of power and influence, not only over their own countries, but over the world. Now, When a country harbors or houses the most powerful man in the known world, something very interesting begins to happen among the general populace. There's a very peculiar fantasy that begins to stir among people. And that fantasy is this: what would I say if I could talk to the president or the king or the governor or the ruler? And needless to say, I'm sure everybody here at one time or another has probably fantasized what you might say if you had an audience with the president. Amen. I know Reggie has. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I love Brother Reggie. And all of us think, what would I advocate for? What would I say? What issues would I address if I could just talk to the most powerful man in the world? Because needless to say, we all understand that a conversation with the most powerful man in the world will change your life. It will change your life. It will have a dramatic impact and effect on you, on your thinking, on your view of life, your view of society, etc. Now, I don't think that such fantasies are new with us. At least we'll keep this conversation within American framework, but I'm sure that early Americans fantasized about talking to George Washington regarding the American Revolution. I'm sure that people fantasized about talking to Abraham Lincoln regarding the dynamics of the Civil War. I'm sure people would have loved to talk to Lyndon B. Johnson about the Vietnam War and what was going on there. I don't doubt for one minute that many people during the Great Depression would have loved to have a conversation with Hoover or with Roosevelt. We've even had very celebrity-like presidents like the Kennedys, and I'm sure that many people would have loved to talk to him about his family or the Cold War, etc. Now, the people of antiquity were no different. Were no different in that, and I'm just talking about, for right now, we'll talk about people, Bible people. Bible people were no different in that one of the most significant things they could ever do in their lifetime would be to talk to one of the most powerful rulers in the then known world. And what's beautiful about your Bible and about the people of the Bible, that this is exactly what happened. And the Bible records these meetings where men of God, prophets, apostles, etc., would actually have an audience with the most powerful men in the world. Moses and Aaron met with Pharaoh. And they let him know, let God's people go. Amen. Esther met with the king of Persia and besought him to reverse Haman's curse against the Jews. Nehemiah spoke with another king of Persia and besought him that he would allow him to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Daniel spoke with the king of Babylon and asked him to consider his ways, with two kings of Babylon, and asked them to consider their ways and to repent before God. Amen. We know that the Apostle Paul spoke with governors of Rome and spoke to them about temperance and the resurrection and the coming of Jesus Christ. Talking to the most powerful individual in the world is one thing. But I want all of us here tonight to consider what it would be like to talk to the most powerful individual in existence. All right. It's one thing to talk to a president. It's one thing to talk to a governor or a ruler. But it's a whole nother thing to talk to God. And if you think a talk with the president would change you, let me tell you something. A talk with God will change you. And this is not part of my message, but I want you to know prayer is one of the greatest privileges to a human being, because the room is always open, God's always available, and when you pray, something will always change. always, prayer changes things. Prayer changes you. Prayer changes situations. I'm telling you, there is absolutely nothing that fuels the Christian walk like a prayer meeting. There is nothing that can turn things around like prayer. I'm telling you right now, prayer is a privilege. It is an honor. There is, and then let me go one step further. When you really start praying, you'll find out there ain't nothing like a good old-fashioned talk with Jesus. When your heart is broken, there's nothing like a talk with Jesus. When you're sick in your body, there's nothing like a talk with Jesus. When you're facing impossible situations, there's nothing like a talk with Jesus. When you're trying to get off dope, there's nothing like a talk with Jesus. When you're wrestling with suicide, there's nothing like a talk with Jesus. You're looking at somebody that was very suicidal, but I got to talking to Jesus. When your family split down the middle, there's nothing like a talk with Jesus. When you're half backslid, there's nothing like a talk with Jesus. When you're the only kid in your high school living for God, there's nothing like a talk with Jesus. When the girls are making fun of you for the way you dress, there's nothing like a talk with Jesus. I feel like worshiping Jesus right now. I feel something in the air. Oh. Oh. I'm preaching to somebody right now. If you can't sleep at night, you might as well talk to Jesus. If you got to go to the hospital this week and you're going to be there for a while, you might as well talk to Jesus. I'm telling you right now. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but if you're fixing to go through a divorce, there's nothing like a talk with Jesus before you go to court. If you're fighting for your kids, there's nothing like a... Oh, looking for a job, there's nothing like a talk with Jesus. Why don't we pray right now? Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, unto you do I pray. Hey, yeah, 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 Bosanda. Oh, Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. In our text tonight, we are reading about a man who has an audience with the most powerful being in existence. Now, I know it seems like an odd text to, in regard to what I'm saying, but through his actions, Cain has garnered an audience with God. And I want you to know, whether you do good or evil, God is going to come to you at some point in your life. You will have an audience with God at some point in your life. And I'm not talking about God lives in my heart. I'm not talking about I feel goosebumps. I'm telling everybody here, saint, sinner, friend, whatever you are, that there will come a time when God will visit you. Now, I don't like reading past this particular story too fast because there's actually something to be learned here. And if you slow down a little bit, you'll pick up two very important lessons about Cain and God's conversation Number one, it teaches you how God likes to be talked to. You should be transparent and open with God, but you should always be reverent. There should always be something in you that maintains the attitude of, you are God. I'm mad, I'm frustrated, but you are God. You are, I will reverence you. I will not talk to you like I just talked to anybody else. I will, and I'm not telling you to pray or talk to God in some professional manner, but there should always be something inside of you that realizes, I'm not just talking to the gardener, to the chef, or to the water boy. I'm talking to Jesus. Cain's conversation with God is a beautiful example of what we talked about earlier today, that it's not only important to know what God's saying, it is important to know the tone in which God is saying things, the spirit in which God is saying things. Because God approaches Cain and he says, Cain, where is thy brother? And Cain took that as an attack, when in reality, it was God trying to stimulate Cain to repentance. God knew where Cain was. When God, listen, I have experienced it, you have experienced it, some of you will experience it tonight for the first time. When God approaches you, it's important that you understand, he's not against me. He's not against me. God is not against me. Things happen in life, I'm telling you, I went through a situation not too long ago, and I wasn't happy with it. It was painful. It was hurtful. And I remember being in a church service and feeling the presence of God so powerfully. But yet, while I was lifting my hands, I somehow felt like, God, you're against me. God is not against us. God is not against us. God is on our side. Listen, if anybody knows you only got one life to live, it's God. If anybody knows that he only has one chance with you, it's God. And let me tell you something about God. He doesn't waste a chance with any of us. He will work with us. He knows that our days are numbered. He knows that our life is but a vapor. And God, more than you or me, knows that he's got to get a hold of you and get a relationship going with you. And let me tell you something else, whether we're talking about Cain or you, your sins do not overwhelm, intimidate, or hold back God. God can deal with anything you've done, anywhere you've gone, anything you've said, anything you've looked like. Come on, shame is a worthless feeling. Guilt is a worthless feeling. And none of us should go around spreading it, and none of us should live under its shadow. God, Jesus, I'm telling you right now, God can forgive any sin. God can forgive any. He can forgive any infraction. He can forgive any. I'm preaching to somebody. You tonight have got to come out from under the spirit of guilt and shame. It's worthless. It's worthless. It's worthless. It's no good. It's no good. It keeps you up at night. It keeps you from participating in the praise and the worship. It's ruining your marriage. It's ruining your relationship with your children. Shame is a worthless feeling. It is worthless. God does not make you feel guilty. He makes you feel convicted. But conviction is a good thing, because it leadeth unto repentance. And repentance leads us unto salvation. And salvation is nothing to be repented about. Oh, Jesus. No. You know, this is not part of my message. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that Esau sought, he looked for with tears, a place of repentance, but found none. Hey, We all got bad habits. We all got stuff we do that we know we shouldn't. I have wrestled with some things for a long time. If you lose confidence in me, whatever. But there are things I have wrestled with night and day, night and day, night. You know, sometimes you feel like the man in Poe's poem, The Raven, and you're being visited by that ugly, dark spirit that says, nevermore. 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 Nothing's going to change. Hey, I got news for you, and I can't emphasize this to you enough. I don't care if you've been living for God your whole life, or this is your first year into it, or your fifth year into it. I'm telling you, you've got to stick around. You've got to stick around. You've got to stick around. I don't care what the crow says. You got to stick around, because there'll come a day in your walk with God when God says, that's enough. I'll give you the strength. You found, I'm telling you, just days ago, I found an altar, and I said, God, I'm sick of this. I'm absolutely sick of this. Grant me repentance right now. And it came to me. It came to me. I found a place of repentance, and the crow had to shut its mouth. The raven had to be quiet. And now it's not nevermore, it's evermore. Evermore, evermore, evermore. His mercy endureth forever. His love endureth forever. His pious. 450 years Israel was in Egypt. They were slaves. Their kids were slaves. But on one midnight, God said, that is enough. Put your belt on. Put your shoes on. Put a staff in your hand. You are coming out. You are coming out. I'm telling you, all of us will have our Passover night. There'll come a day when that struggle will be gone. There'll come a day when that wrestling match will be gone. But you got to stick around. It's not enough to serve God 1 year, 2 years, 5 years. You got to get in it for the long haul, baby. You got to sit in church and imagine yourself an old gray-haired saint living for God, delivered, washed in the blood. Number two, and I'm going to preach in a minute. We just chit-chatting. We're going. Number two, we learn what really interests God. What really interests God? Because quite frankly, God don't care about everything. God don't care about your car. At least not like you do. Parking it all the way on the other side so Brother Johnson and his crazy family don't run into it. You know the Johnsons, their kids just open the door and never look. They ain't doing that to my blessing. I bind the Johnson family and their crazy door-opening kids. You know, Sister Johnson, wear them thick glasses. She just opened doors and banged cars. God gave me this car. Hey, I got news for you. God cares more about Sister Johnson and you's relationship than he does about your car. God don't care about everything. But he does care about our relationship with each other. God does care about how we get along with each other. God does care about the interplay and the dynamics of human relationships. God absolutely does care. In fact, he says that the way we love one another is like the first commandment, which is to love God with all our heart. He said, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor, to love your brother, to love your sister. Yeah, this is Christianity 101, but this is the stuff where we fail all the time. All the time. Just good old-fashioned loving one another. Just good old-fashioned respect for one another. Just good old-fashioned courtesy towards one another. Just good old-fashioned care for one another. I'm preaching better than you're responding. I'm telling you right now, God cares about how I talk to you. God cares about how you talk to me. God cares about how I treat you. God, hey, listen, if we're going to have revival, we're going to have to be the happiest, friendliest, lovingest church on the block, in the city, in the state. Hey, it doesn't bother me that there's people of all kinds of colors and ages here. This ain't just a church for young people. This is a church for old people. This is a church for all people. This is not just a church for white people. This is a church for all people. This ain't just a church for black people or brown people. This is a church for all. This is not just a... This ain't just a church for people who got it together. This is a church for people falling apart. This is just... This ain't just a church for people who pay their bills. This is a church for people who bounce checks. This is a church... This is a church not just for good citizens. It's a church for convicts. And I lost you. I lost some of you. I'm telling you, we got to get over this. We got to get real about revival. We got to get real. Come on. Come on. God has opened a door to this church unlike any other church in Alabama. You got to walk through the door. You got to walk through the door. And you got to say, Jesus, bring it on. Bring it. Hey, God gave Peter a vision. In that vision, it was a blanket. It had all kinds of animals. It had pandas. Black, white, and Asian. Oh, yeah. It had lizards. Slimy, creepy things. Oh, yeah, I'm talking about folks. It had pandas and lizards. I, you know, this is just my theology. You do whatever you want. I believe it even had some maimed animals. Hallelujah. Some one-armed dogs and tailless cats. And God said, don't you dare call dirty what I call clean. Don't you dare look at anybody that I've cleaned up and washed in the blood and say, you know what? That ain't my brother. That is your brother. Don't you dare look at some girl over there, say, she ain't my sister. That's... I don't care what she was when she got in that water and came out. That's your sister. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say. A lot of us don't care what you think. That's your sister. That's your brother. That. Come on. I'm telling you, God cares about this stuff. God cares. Cain looks at God. Cain looks at God. I'll tell you exactly what Cain said. I'll tell you what he said in Hebrew. He said, Hashomer achi anochi. Hashomer achi anochi. Literally translated means, am I my brother's guardian? You read it in Spanish, it says the same thing. Yo soy el guarda de mi hermano. Am I my brother's guardian? And you know what? God didn't answer him right there and then. But God did answer him in 1,000 plus chapters of the Bible and over thousands of verses in the affirmative. Because the rest of your Bible is account after account after account of people who were trying, who God was trying to teach, you are your brother's keeper. In fact, the Holy Ghost is so emphatic about this point that as late as the book of Jude, which is the last book before the last book in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is still impressing upon the writers to tell us to not walk in the way of Cain. It's like the Holy Ghost won't let it go. I want Cain to know, and I want everybody that comes into existence to know, you are your brother's guardian. Oh, I'm going to preach in a minute. I'm telling you right now, I am not preaching a message on unity. I am preaching a message on responsibility. Because you know what the difference between unity and responsibility? Unity says, I will not attack my brother. Responsibility says, not only will I not attack my brother, I will defend my brother. This is the family God brought me into. This is the community I am a part of. And I will not just not cause trouble. I will be proactive. I will protect. I will defend. I will stick up for. I will go into some downright dirty prayer meetings. I will fast. If I find out you're going through it, I'll stick with you as you go through it. I'm not going to just not attack you. I'm going to be on your side fighting the good fight. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost. No. This is where this church is at right now. There are people in this church going through hell, and they don't deserve to go through it by themselves. God's trying to raise up some people in here to say, not only do I love you, I'm a fight with you. Not only am I... No. Let's pray. I feel the Holy Ghost moving right now. I'm telling you, God is gripping some of your hearts right now. I feel it. Not unity, responsibility. Come on, this is your community. These are your people. These are your brothers. These are your sisters. They're not just anybody. They're not just... Can I preach to you that besides God, the people in this building are the most precious thing in your life? They are the most important commodity in your walk with God. Outside of your walk with God, the second most important thing is everybody here. You know, the other day I was listening, and I actually verified this. My sister-in-law is a lawyer. She's about to graduate from law school, but I verified this with her. I was listening to a judge, and he said, you know, on the radio, he said, you know what a lot of people don't understand? He was, in particular, he specialized in juvenile crimes, but he said, you know what a lot of people don't understand is that at the end of the day, I determine what the final sentence is going to be, or how the punishment is going to be dished out. The jury determines that you're guilty, and then we have a certain set of you know, things that can be put on you, but I determine which one we're going to slap on you. He said, and what a lot of people don't realize is that that is left to my discretion. And he said this about juveniles, but I hope you see the spiritual application here in a few seconds. He says, if I have a juvenile in front of me, who shows up to court with family and friends, he said, my sentence will be less strict than a juvenile that shows up by themselves. And he says, because people that do not have a support group are more likely to recommit the crime again. Hey, can I tell you that the judge of heaven and earth looks at who you surround yourself with? Hey, let this preacher tell you, there was a lot of times I was in church, but I was half backslid. I was in church, but I was acting crazy and out of my mind. But somewhere in my walk with God, I made friends with the right people. I stuck close to the prayer warriors. I talked to the elders and I talked to the new converts. I can't tell you how many times I've got phone calls from new converts that I just loved on early on in my walk with God. And they tell me years later, I pray for you. I pray for you. I pray for you. And Brother Reggie, there's been times I'm out of my mind. I don't know which way I'm going. I'm lost. And I can feel the prayers of the friends I got. And it determines the way the judge of heaven and earth deals with me. Hey, I'm telling you, you got to lock up with the people in this building. It's going to determine how God deals with you. We need to pray right now. Let's pray right now. Hey, listen. I love you. I love you. I am not your pastor. I am very careful to, every time I preach, I'm very careful. The Bible says that a pastor should do the work of an evangelist, but it never says the reverse. And I watch my spirit to never tread on any lines that your pastor, that's his territory. But I want to gently rebuke some of you. Some of you, your attendance needs to go up. You need to be here. You need to be faithful. And I'll tell you why. I'm not just rebuking you so that you can get, you know, perfect attendance at the end of the year at the church sticker award and free cupcake. I'm telling you this because you being here, listen, this must be the answer because this is what the devil tries to keep you out of. Because every time you going through it, you'll notice the devil will try to keep you out of church. He don't mind you working overtime. He don't mind you going to visit your parents. He don't mind you going to visit your in-laws. He don't mind you doing any of that. But you start slipping in your walk with God and decide, you know what? I'm going to church. And he'll fight you. He'll fight you. He'll fight you. Because he knows that if you surround yourself with the right people and you get close to your pastor and you get close to your brother and you get close to your sister, the judgment begins to change. God begins. I'm telling you right now, there's nothing like the prayers of the church on you. There's nothing. Oh, God. But you got to be here to get them. You got to be here to get it on you. You got to show your face up in hopes that somebody would get a burden for you and pray for you, lay their hands on you, invoke a blessing. Oh, Jesus. You stay out of church, it'll get worse. It will get worse. You got to report for duty, soldier. Wheelchair, report for duty. Diabetes, report for duty. Going through a divorce, husband used to be a preacher, report for duty. Kids full of the devil, report for duty. Lost your job, you better report for duty. I'm telling. Girls making fun of you at school, report for duty. Show up, get in the line, line up, dance, shout, scream, worship, lay. You're not going to make it by yourself. You are not going to make it to heaven by yourself. You will not have victory. You will not. I'm telling you, you can't do this on your own. You need somebody by you. You need your brother. You need your sister. If you can't see that, I'm telling you right now, you are out of touch with God. You are out of touch with the Spirit. You've got to get yourself in here. You got to reintegrate yourself. You got to realize, you know what? I need my church. This is where God brought me. I got to stay here. I got to be here. Come on, let's pray. Come on. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is talking right now. You know what? Just 5 days ago, 5 days ago. Listen, I preach all over the place. I stay busy. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm actually saying that as an indictment against myself. I have a local church that I base out of, and there's a lot of times come Wednesday night, I'm coming off the plane. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. Me and my wife, we're tripping like you and your wife. And I don't feel like going to church. And I've even skipped a service or two. And the other day, I'm telling you, before God, I repented of that stuff. I repented of it. I'm not that high. I'm not that mighty. I need God's people. They are my most precious commodity. I'm telling you, the other night, it was Wednesday night. And you know when you trip and you start asking, well, who's preaching? It's Wednesday night. You know who's preaching? I'm gonna put it in part. Is there prayer tonight, or are they preaching? And so I repented of this, and sure enough, who's preaching? Well, one of the young men is preaching. And I told myself, I am repenting of this attitude. I will show up to the house of God, and I will believe God to talk to me through anybody on that pulpit. I need a word, and I'm going to pray for the preacher, and I'm going to get a word. And you know what? That young man preached. He stumbled and stuttered, but God Almighty, he talked to me. He talked to me. I was at the altar crying and bawling. I told God, my attendance is going to go up. It's not enough just for me to be in church when I'm preaching. It's not enough for you to show up when you're singing the solo. You got to be here. You got to be here. You got to be here whether you like what we're doing or not. You got to be here whether it's your ups or not. You got to be here whether it's your favorite preacher or not. You got to be. You know, your relationship with folks affects your faith. It has a direct impact on your faith. I remember one day, I was at the barbershop getting my hair cut. You know, one of my old friends walked in. And you know, I get nervous when I see my old friends, because you know, after you get saved, you realize y'all wasn't friends. And so you never know what might go down in the barbershop. So I'm getting my hair cut, looking at him from the corner of my eye. Yeah, in case you don't know, they're not your friends. We are your friends. No, we are your brother. We are your sister. And so I'm getting cut, right? And my friend, he just shouts out, "Hey, bro." And I'm like, "Bro, I'm right here. You ain't got to yell. How come you don't come around no more?" You know, it's such a one-sided argument because your old friends want to know why you don't go to the parties, but when you ask them why don't they come to church, the real question is, "Hey, bro, why don't you come around more?" Oh, we can kick it Sunday at 11 o'clock. We can kick it Sunday at 6:30. Come on by. It'll be me, you, Pastor Sutton, and the family. Come on by. How come I'm the bad woman because I don't show up to the picnic? How come I'm the bad guy because I don't show up to the barbecue? Why don't you show up to church? I'm not stuck up. I'm saved. Hey, listen. You know, words are powerful. They're very powerful. The Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You put whatever interpretation you want on that, I'm going to go with old school Pentecost. Words carry life and death. God created and framed the world with words. I refuse to intentionally and deliberately expose myself into systems and climates where there is negativity being spoken to me. Because whether I feel it initially or not, those words affect you. I wish I was just talking to new converts. I am not. But new convert, you probably have a much pliable heart right now than some of us do. I want you to know you cannot get out from some circles fast enough. Not all circles. There's some folks, you know what? Here was my prayer when I got saved. God, all my friends that need you, help me to bring them to the house of God with you. And all my friends that are full of the devil and have no intention of serving you, God, cut them off. Cut them off. Cut them off. I'm preaching to saints too, because some of you found your old friends since Facebook popped up. Let me tell you something. Facebook ain't an excuse to go back into the world God brought you out of. Facebook ain't an excuse to be going looking for your ex-girlfriend. Facebook is not an excuse to keep talking to your ex-boyfriend. There's a reason they are an ex. God cut them out. Don't put them back in. I feel resistance. I refuse to hang out with people that my nickname for them is some pejorative and cuss word. I refuse to hang out with a bunch of chicken head women. That got every filthy cuss word for a nickname for me. You better back me up right now. Hey, you might not even like this. I'm telling some of you right now, yes, I'm saying it. I don't care if you think I sound crazy and cultic and I'm some kind of weirdo. I'm telling you, there's some of you, there's some family members, you gotta cut them off. They have nothing good to say. Every time you get around them, they make fun of you, your wife, your church, your system, your love of God, your children. They have nothing good to say, and you are intentionally and deliberately exposing yourself to brutality and negativity, and you do yourself a favor to cut him off. Cut him. I am not exaggerating. I am not exaggerating. You know, Dawson wanted to talk to me the other day. He don't even have my phone number. But I am not exaggerating when I tell you I am closer to Dawson than I am to some of my own family members. And you know what? After living for God, I found out that there's a big difference between family and people you share the same last name with. Family. Family. I'd rather be on the phone with Dawson crying, telling him my troubles, telling him my doubts and my fears. I'd rather have Dawson come visit me in the hospital if I'm dying than some folks that got the same last name as me. I've been living for God long enough now to know there ain't nobody like a brother. There ain't nobody like a sister. There ain't nobody like the people of God. And there ain't nobody like the church. Come on, come on, come on. This is good preaching. Come on. Come on. Some of you ought to get up and clap your hands. And as you're clapping your hands, make it up in your mind. I'm cutting them off. I'm cutting them off. If they want God, they know where I'm at. If they want God, they got my number. If they want... Dawson, God sent out 12 spies. He said, I want you to go survey the land. Only 2 came back with a good report. Don't tell me friends don't affect your faith. Not only do friends affect your faith, they affect your destiny and the destiny of your family. Because those 10 men that came back with an evil report had no idea that everything that came out of their mouth and their attitude and their spirit was not only going to be a mark against them, but against their generation. I don't know how it went down, but this is me, right? Book of Second Opinions right here. I can just see Joshua going up to one guy saying, hey, bro, I think we could do it. Homie like, no, we can't do it. Walk up to somebody else. Hey, I think God can do it. No, I don't think so. Hey, I think God can do it. No, I don't. And finally, he found Caleb. Hey, Caleb, I think God can do it. I think so, too. Yeah. See, I got to get around those folks that are all about, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Hey, I got cancer. I think God can help me. I think he can help you. Let's go. Hey, I'm going through a divorce. I think God can help me. Hey, let's go. Hey, my kids are acting crazy. I think God can still save John John. Let's go. Let's go. Come on, somebody. Hey, I'm failing in high school, but I want to turn it around this year and graduate. I think God can do it. I think God can do it. Let's go. Hey, do you realize that Moses and Aaron were part of that generation, and Moses and Aaron didn't even make it in? You know why? Because Aaron was never Moses' keeper. Yeah, because what you find in your Bible is that Aaron was all about it when Moses had to prophesy. But when Moses was being picked on, Aaron got quiet. Oh, Aaron didn't cause trouble, but he didn't fight against it either. Aaron didn't see himself as Moses' guardian. Oh, that's right, because when Miriam got to bad-mouthing Moses, Aaron got quiet. When the children of Israel got to wanting to make golden cows, and they give the reason, because Moses hasn't come down. It was a direct attack against Moses. Aaron got quiet. Said, let's make cows. He didn't guard his brother. I think Moses might have made it in had he got a little bit more help from Aaron. Yeah, I just believe my relationship with my brother and my sister is that powerful. It determines how far I go. I could be a mighty prayer warrior man of God, but not on my own. I'm closing here because you're getting tired. And David's best friend was Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of Saul. And by all intents and purposes, although God was not in agreement with it, Saul should have been the next heir. Jonathan should have been the next heir to the kingdom. But it dawned on Jonathan one day, it ain't me. See, a lot of church folk don't even got that attitude. If it ain't you, you ain't cool with it. Jonathan said, you know what? It ain't me. It's you. And I'm with you. I'm with you if my dad starts tripping. See, some folks, if it ain't them, they ain't down with it. If they ain't singing the solo, they ain't down with it. If they ain't the next preacher, they ain't down with it. If they ain't getting a pat on the back and recognition, they ain't down with it. Well, why are they giving her an award? And why are they recognizing their kids? What about my kids? And hey, you got to get to the point where you love whatever God touches. You love whoever God anoints. You get with it if it ain't you. It doesn't have to be you. It's smoke even if it don't come out of your chimney, friend. I'm telling you, you've got to be on God's side. You've got to always be on God's side, no matter who it crosses you. You know, I've been losing friends lately. I'll be real with you. I've been losing friends. Because I have friends that want to turn on their pastor, turn on their elder, turn on good people in the church, and still keep all their friends. I'm sorry. If you're going to start acting like that, I'm on God's side. I don't agree with you bad-mouthing leadership. I don't agree with you manipulating the good people in the church. I don't agree with you making fun of people. I don't agree. Let's stand. Oh God, can we just pray? Can we just pray? You know, I know you guys just started this year, but for years I've been a very big proponent of cell groups. Big proponent. There was a particular church I was helping to get cell groups started with, and there was a young girl there in the church, very, very gifted, very intelligent, very educated. And this church has been around for a long time. But there was whole sectors of her friends that she could never reach. But when we started doing cell groups, she started bringing in all kinds of her friends from college. And she started bringing one of her friends And you know, he got into a safe place. Let me tell you something about the church. No matter where you come from, a life lived for God is always a step up. I don't care if you got more degrees than a thermometer. A life for God is a step up. I don't care if you got IRA. I don't care if you got 401ks. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how many properties you own. When you get saved, it's a step up. And this kid was highly educated. He's graduated from some very prestigious college. I mean, he had it going on, but he came in the church. And you see, you don't realize what happens is when God brings you here, he's bringing you into a very safe haven where people will guard you. And he started slipping out of the guard. And I saw him the other day. I was walking down the street. It was late at night. I go out for walks at night. And I saw him. His name's Miguel. And I grabbed him by the shoulder. I said, "Hey, Miguel." And he turned around and he looked at me. This is a highly educated child. And I remember he had this blank look on his face. He didn't even recognize me. He was so high out of his mind. Has a great job, has degrees. He does all this community work, but he's broken on the inside. And ever since he's pulled himself out of the church, he's not safe anymore. I'm preaching to some of y'all right now. Some of you coming in, don't just come in, stay in. No matter what happens in your life, young ladies, stay in. We don't want you to struggle, young men, but if you do, don't go. Saint of God, we don't want you to waver in your faith, in your commitment, in your holiness, in your tithing, in your offering, in your attendance, but if you do, stay in. I'll tell you what I feel, and I'm done. I'll tell you what I feel. I feel like some folks got to hit the altar tonight and say, not only is this my church, these are my people. I'm talking right now in the Holy Ghost. There are people you have transferred here from other churches. You have transferred here from other churches, and there's been this lingering spirit in your head. I don't really know if I belong here. Let me tell you, you're here, stay here, you belong here. Just integrate yourself and tell yourself, I ain't going nowhere. This is my church. This is my pastor. This is my Bible. This is my people. If they never let you sing, this is your church. You cannot have the attitude of, if they don't let me do and express my talents, then I ain't with it. I'm out. You are a poor sport. If my job is to warm up this chair right here, and bring folk and live for God, I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna do it well. Yeah. Now I want you to know, we love everybody. We'll use just about anybody that's willing to get with God. I'm done. If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, you can get it. Because we're talking about the family of God. If you need to get in, get in. Now the rest of us, if you need the Holy Ghost tonight, just come up. I will pray for you personally. You'll get the Holy Ghost. Visitor, if you're standing next to somebody, you are their guardian. Bring them up. Let's pray them through. The rest of us. The rest of us. I'm serious. I'm serious. I know I'm losing you. I'm serious. Nobody should walk out of any of these doors tonight without at least for 3 seconds or four visiting this altar and saying, God, this is my church. This is my pastor. This is my Bible. This is my people. Is that hard? Let's do this right now. Musicians, let's sing something. It doesn't have to be wild, but let's just sing. Come on. Come on, people of God. And before you leave tonight, hug somebody's neck and let them know I got your back. Come on. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Some of you, it would do you good to find somebody to pray with tonight and wrap your arm around them. If you know somebody that's going through the trial of their life, go ahead and let them know they're not going through it by themselves.
All together, wonderful to me.
Come on.
Here I am to
we are your people. Right now, you just got a brand new brother. I'm telling you, he's getting it. I wish you could see what I can see. I'm telling you, this is the family of God up in here. Let it out, bro. Let it out. Person next to you, come on, join hands with somebody. Begin to invoke the name of Jesus over their life. In Jesus' name, I pray for you in Jesus. I'm telling you, the love of God is in this house right now. Don't leave without letting the love of God on you.